All right, buckle up, everybody, because today we are diving headfirst into a case that seriously shook up the software world.
Oh, yeah.
Oracle America versus Google. You guys specifically asked for this one, and I can see why.
Definitely a popular request.
It gets right to the heart of what can be copyrighted in software.
Yeah.
Especially those fundamental building blocks called APIs.
APIs, that's right.
And to really untangle this legal knot,
yeah,
we're going straight to the source.
Yeah.
Excerpts from the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals decision.
Right to the heart of it.
We're not messing around, folks.
No.
We're going to dig deep.
Absolutely.
To understand WHY, the court made the ruling it did.
Important question.
And what it means for how code gets written in the future.
Huge implications.
Almost like deciphering a secret code, huh?
Well, legal language definitely has its own logic, that's for sure.
Right.
But that's why we're here, to break it down.
That's why you're here.
And to start, I think it's really crucial to understand the context.
Okay.
You know, imagine for a second the Java platform as this, like, universal translator for computers.
Ooh, universal translator. Okay.
So Sun Microsystems, which later became Oracle.
Right.
They developed it with this big, ambitious vision of write once, run anywhere.
Catchy.
Yeah. The idea was that code written in Java could run seamlessly on any device.
Like a universal power adapter.
That's a great way to put it.
Like, fits into any outlet anywhere in the world.
Yes, exactly like that.
I got it.
And APIs in this scenario.
Yeah, APIs.
Those are like the different prongs on that adapter.
Oh, okay.
They provide these standardized ways for different pieces of software to connect and communicate with each other.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
So APIs are like those pre-written recipes you find in a cookbook.
Precisely.
They let programmers use like pre-made code for common functions.
Right.
Saves them a ton of time and effort.
Exactly. A huge amount of time.
Right.
And, you know, Sun, they really wanted Java to be this truly universal language for computers.
Universal language, yeah.
Ensuring smooth communication between programs and devices.
Smooth communication, yeah.
Interoperability was key to their whole vision.
Interoperability, got it.
So they're trying to build this whole ecosystem.
It's a big vision.
It is.
So then Google comes along
right.
with their ambition to create Android.
Huge undertaking.
Right. Initially, they tried to just license Java from Sun, right?
Yes, they did.
Makes sense.
But those negotiations, they hit a pretty big snag.
What happened?
Well, Google wasn't fully on board with sticking to that strict write once, run anywhere philosophy.
Interesting.
Yeah, especially when it came to a crucial component called the Java Virtual Machine, or JVM.
The JVM.
Yeah, so the deal ultimately fell apart.
And
Google facing, you know, deadlines and pressure,
yeah.
they decided to go ahead and build Android their own way.
Okay, makes sense.
So they wrote their own implementing code.
Yeah.
But here's where things get a little sticky.
Oh.
They ended up copying around 7,000 lines.
7,000 lines.
Of declaring code.
Declaring code.
From 37 of Oracle's Java API packages.
Wow.
They essentially replicated the structure and organization of those APIs.
So they copied the structure, but not the exact code.
Yeah, what the court calls SSO.
SSO.
Structure, sequence, organization.
Okay, and this declaring code... This sounds pretty technical.
It is.
What exactly are we talking about here?
Well, think of it as the interface between us humans.
Okay.
The programmer.
Programmers.
And the computer.
Okay.
It's how we tell the computer what we want it to do.
I see.
And Oracle put a lot of thought into how this interface was designed.
Oh, so they carefully crafted this.
They did.
So to go back to our analogy.
Yeah, the analogy.
If Java is the universal power adapter.
Right.
APIs are the different prongs.
I like where you're going with this.
Then declaring code is like the labels on each prong.
Ooh, okay.
That tell you, like, what voltage it handles.
That is a very clever way to visualize it.
It's important, those little labels.
Absolutely. Without them, you could fry your device.
Exactly.
In the same way, declaring code.
Yeah.
It makes it clear to programmers what each part of the API does.
Got it.
And how to use it correctly.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you can see why it's so important.
Yeah, definitely.
Why this case got so much attention.
Right. So the big question here is...
Yeah, the big question.
Was this copying by Google illegal?
Yeah. Was it illegal?
Did they violate Oracle's copyright by... you know, mimicking that structure and organization.
Even though they wrote their own underlying code.
Right. That's the key point. Right.
Absolutely.
It's like you can copyright a song, but you can't copyright, like, the idea of love.
Exactly, you're getting it.
You know?
That's the core legal principle here, the idea versus expression.
Exactly. So Google's argument was that the structure of the APIs was just an idea, not a protected expression.
That was their argument.
And they even brought up this thing called the merger doctrine.
Yes, the merger doctrine.
Which basically says that...
Well, it essentially means...
If an idea can only be expressed in a very limited number of ways...
Right.
It kind of merges with the expression and can't be copyrighted.
That's the gist of it.
Right, right.
But the court wasn't totally convinced.
Why not?
Well, they started looking at specific examples.
Ooh, specific examples.
They focused on a function called java.lang.math.max.
java.lang.math.max.
I know it sounds a bit like alphabet soup.
It does, a little bit.
But it's basically a function for finding the bigger of two numbers.
Okay.
And the court pointed out that Oracle had a bunch of different creative options for how they named and organized this within their APIs.
So instead of java.lang.math.max, they could have called it like math.maximum or something?
Exactly. There were choices involved.
Choices, that, and that's key.
So that poked some holes in the merger doctrine argument, huh?
It did, because it wasn't just a purely functional, unavoidable expression. There was creative thought behind it.
I see.
Google also tried to argue... Oh, they had another argument.
They did. That the declaring code they copied was just short phrases?
Oh, short phrases, okay.
And therefore not protected by copyright.
Interesting.
But the court shot that down, too.
They didn't buy that one either.
Not really.
Why not?
Well, they drew a parallel to famous literary openings.
Ooh, okay.
Like, "Call Me Ishmael" from Moby Dick.
I see, I see.
It's short.
It is short.
But its placement in the specific wording.
Right.
It's a protected expression.
Right. You can't just use that willy-nilly.
Exactly. It's the same logic with the declaring code in those API packages.
It's about the arrangement, not just the words themselves.
Precisely.
Okay. I'm starting to get it.
That's good.
So the court really emphasized this idea of structure, sequence, and organization.
Yes.
They were saying it's not just about what the function does.
Right.
It's about the creative choices involved.
The creative choices.
And how that function is designed.
Yeah, and how it fits into the whole system.
Right, like how it all works together.
Exactly. It's all connected.
It's getting really interesting.
Oh, it gets even more interesting.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, I guess we'll have to pick this up in part two.
We will.
Can't wait.
Looking forward to it.
All right. So we've talked about how the court basically sided with Oracle.
Right.
Saying that those API structures, they can be copyrighted.
Copyrightable, yeah.
But I'm kind of curious, where does this whole fair use idea fit into all of this?
Ah, fair use.
Wasn't that part of Google's defense?
Yeah, fair use is a major part of copyright law.
Right.
And it basically allows limited use of copyrighted material without needing permission.
So you can use it a little bit.
To a certain extent, yeah.
Without getting in trouble.
Right.
So how did that work in this case?
Well, in this specific situation, the jury couldn't actually agree.
Oh, wow.
On whether Google's actions were fair use or not.
So a hung jury.
Essentially, yeah.
Wow, okay.
And because of the judge's ruling on the copyrightability, they didn't have a retrial.
So that part of the case, it's just kind of left hanging.
In a way, yes.
That's wild.
It does leave some open questions.
It really does.
But to understand why that happened, I think it's helpful to look at the four factors of fair use.
Okay, yeah. Break those down for me.
All right. So the first factor...
Hit me with it.
...is the purpose and character of the use.
Okay. So, like, what were they using it for?
Exactly. Was it commercial?
Like, to make money.
Right. Or was it more transformative?
Transformative.
Did they add new meaning or value to the original?
I see. I see.
So in Google's case, it seems pretty clear they were building a commercial product.
Right. It was a commercial operating system.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense.
The second factor is the nature of the copyrighted work itself.
Okay. So what was it?
Was it more factual or creative?
Right. Right.
And we already talked about how the court saw those APIs as having creative elements.
They did. Yeah.
So that leans in Oracle's favor.
Okay. I'm following you.
The third factor is the amount and substantiality of what they used.
So, like, how much did they actually copy?
Right. And we know Google copied around 7,000 lines.
That's a lot of code.
It is, but it's still just a tiny fraction of the entire Java platform.
So does that matter?
It does. Even though it was small by volume,
okay,
the court decided it was still really important stuff.
Oh, so it was like the heart of it.
Yeah, they focused on things like the range check function
Range check.
and some decompiled files as evidence.
Right. Or Google tried to argue it was no big deal.
Yeah, the de minimis argument.
De minimis, that's it.
But the court wasn't convinced.
That's how important, huh?
Exactly. It wasn't just about the quantity.
Okay, I'm getting
it. It was the quality and the impact of what was taken.
Okay, makes sense.
And finally, the fourth factor.
Lay it on me.
The effect of the copying on the market.
Ooh, the market, yeah.
This is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Did the copying hurt the original work's potential market?
Hmm, interesting.
So while Google definitely benefited commercially.
Right, they made money.
It's debatable if they actually harmed Oracle's market.
Because Android and Java, they weren't directly competing.
Exactly. Android was its own platform.
So if there had been a retrial. On this fair use question.
Right.
These are the things they would have really dug into.
Absolutely. It would have been a battle of the experts.
Right, because there are strong arguments on both sides.
Absolutely.
This whole case is so complex.
It really highlights the complexities of copyright law.
Especially with software.
Software is constantly evolving.
It's a moving target.
Exactly. So applying those laws can be tricky.
It makes sense why it went all the way to the Federal Circuit.
High stakes.
Absolutely.
But beyond the legal detail.
Yeah, the bigger picture.
This case really sparked broader discussions
about
software innovation and how to protect it.
Right, because this stuff is valuable.
Incredibly valuable.
So how do you protect that value?
Exactly. And some people argue that maybe software would be better suited for patents.
Instead of copyright.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought.
Patents and software. I don't know much about that.
Well, patents are more about protecting inventions.
Right.
New and useful things.
Right, right. Yeah.
While copyright is about protecting creative expression.
I see. So they have different focuses.
Exactly. Different purposes.
So why would some people think patents are better for software?
Well, they argue that the current patent system, yeah. It's actually slowing down innovation.
Really?
Yeah, they say there are too many overly broad patents.
Too many patents.
Well, too many that are too broad.
Yeah.
That makes it hard for developers to work around them.
I see. So it's stifling creativity.
That's the argument.
But others would say patents are essential.
Right. They say they're crucial for protecting groundbreaking innovations.
Right. The truly new stuff.
Exactly.
So it's a tough balance.
It is. Finding the right balance between protecting intellectual property and fostering innovation.
That's the sweet spot, right?
It is.
So where does this leave us?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway from this whole deep dive.
Yeah.
Is that Oracle v. Google really established that the structure and organization of APIs.
Yeah, APIs.
They can be protected by copyright.
Especially if they show creative choices.
Right. It's not a blanket protection for every single API.
Right, right.
But it sets a precedent that all software developers need to be aware of.
Absolutely. So pay attention, developers.
This case is important.
It is.
And it also exposed that tension between copyright and patent protection in the software world.
Right, and how that affects things like open source development.
Exactly. That's a crucial part of the discussion.
So this whole case, it's not just about Oracle and Google?
No, it's much bigger than that.
It's about the future of software.
It really is.
And how we protect innovation in this digital world.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
You know, something's been bugging me.
Oh, what's that?
We talked about how Google wanted to be compatible with Java programmers.
Right, to tap into that existing pool of talent.
Yeah. But wasn't Sun and later Oracle also motivated by, you know, market forces when they created Java?
That's a really sharp observation.
I mean, they wanted Java to be like the programming language, right?
Absolutely. Sun's write once, run anywhere. It wasn't just some idealistic vision.
Yay.
It was a really savvy business strategy.
So they designed it to be appealing to developers.
Exactly. Make it easy to use, attract more programmers.
Which would then lead to wider adoption.
Right. More people using Java.
Which increases its value.
Precisely. It's that classic network effect.
Right. The more people use it, the more valuable it becomes.
And that value translates into market share and ultimately revenue.
So both Sun, Oracle, and Google, they were playing the market game.
In a sense, yes.
Just with different strategies.
Different approaches, for sure.
And Google's approach, well, it involved borrowing heavily from Oracle's work.
That's one way to put it.
It's tricky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the line between being inspired by something and just copying it?
It's a question that comes up a lot, especially in the software world.
And this case really highlights that gray area.
It does. It forces us to grapple with those tough questions.
So where do we go from here? What are the long-term implications of this case?
Well, It's hard to say for sure.
Right, it's still unfolding.
But I think it's safe to say that Oracle v. Google has really changed the landscape.
For software development.
For software development, for copyright law, for open source.
Right, we talked about those concerns.
A lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, if APIs are more readily copyrightable.
It could create a lot of legal hurdles.
Especially for open source developers.
That's a major concern.
It could stifle innovation.
Potentially, yes.
If developers are constantly worried about lawsuits.
It could make them hesitant to experiment, to build on existing code.
Which is the foundation of open source.
Exactly. So we need to find solutions.
Solutions that protect both intellectual property.
Right.
And the open source ecosystem.
It's a delicate balance.
It is. And this case has really brought that to the forefront.
It has. And it sparked a conversation.
A conversation that needs to happen.
Absolutely.
We need to figure out how to foster innovation.
While still respecting the rights of creators.
Exactly. It's a challenge, but an important one.
It is. And I think this deep dive has given us a lot to think about.
It has. We've covered so much ground.
From the technical nuts and bolts of APIs.
The broader implications for the software industry.
And the future of innovation.
And I want to leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay, what's that?
We've talked about the impact on developers, on open source.
Right.
But what about the impact on consumers?
Interesting question.
Could this ruling lead to less choice? Higher prices?
It's possible.
If companies have more control over their APIs.
It could shift the balance of power.
Exactly. It's something to consider as we move forward in this digital world.
It is. We need to be mindful of these potential consequences.
Well, that's all the time we have for today.
It's flown by.
It has. But this conversation is far from over.
No, it's just the beginning.
So keep those questions coming, keep exploring,
and keep innovating.
Until next time, happy coding, everyone.
See you next time.